Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. You may have seen him as you drive down 11th Street, perhaps Brookside or downtown. For 15 years, University of Tulsa art professor Mark Lewis has been painting our city's streetscapes. Over the years, he's documented the mix of streetscape, light, and ephemera in oil painting, and more recently, an interesting collage method involving drawing on hundreds of strips of paper, then assembling them into a figurative landscape. Lewis, who exhibits his work widely in our area and around the Midwest, was recently picked by the Bowery Gallery in Manhattan for a summer exhibition in their Chelsea Gallery. The Bowery Invitational is one of two exhibition slots given each year to non-members of this artist-run gallery. The Bowery Gallery Invitational Show, Mark Lewis, Tulsa Streets, Collages, and Paintings, opens in New York City this coming Tuesday, July 10th through the 28th. My guest is a graduate of the Kansas City Art Institute and the Yale University School of Art and has been a professor here at the University of Tulsa since 1998. His work is most often seen by patrons of the BOK Center, where he was commissioned to create a series of paintings of the Oklahoma Prairie. But he's probably best known in the artistic world for his streetscapes. He joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Mark Lewis, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's nice to visit with you, Rich.
Yeah, and congratulations on this Bowery Invitational Show. Each year, the Bowery Gallery, which is this sort of unusual co-op of artists in Chelsea, in New York, who actually run the gallery, and I think even if you're a member of the Bowery Gallery, you have to do some sort of work involved with the gallery. Each year, they have two invitational slots, and there were a couple painters in South Carolina that also are showing this summer, and you have a solo show at the Bowery Gallery. What a great thing.
I'm very excited about it. It's nice to be included in the show. It's nice to be at the Bowery Gallery. It's a gallery I've enjoyed following for many years. I love a lot of the artists who shows their work there.
So how did this come about? Did you submit work?
I did submit work. I hadn't had a show in a few years in New York, and I knew there was an opportunity to possibly show there. I submitted a portfolio of images via CD, and I was fortunate to be accepted and having the show there. I'm really looking forward to it.
And this comes at a time when you're at a place where you're doing a new body of work, these collages. Or have you been doing collages for a long time?
Well, I've been making collages for a long time in different ways. To really go way back, Richard, you probably haven't seen these works. I really thought of myself as a still life painter for a long time and primarily worked with the still life for about 10 years. And I just recall driving around Tulsa after I moved to Tulsa. I remember driving around town being interested in the landscape. And even when I first moved here, I started working out in the landscape. It didn't feel quite right. And then as I became more familiar with the landscape here, I saw the uniqueness of it, and it intrigued me. And I started working outside on the local Tulsa streets.
Now, for people who don't know your work, they probably have seen you on 11th Street or in Brookside, Cherry Street, downtown. You're the guy that's set up painting in plein air.
No, that's true. It's fun. I think it was a day before yesterday, someone came up to me. I'm working downtown near 4th in Boston. And someone came up to me and said, "Oh, I watched you work last summer down on Brookside." And they visited with me then. And it was nice to chat with them again. They were surprised to see me, but happy to see me. And I enjoy being out there. I enjoy working outside.
So what was it about the landscape that attracted you to outside? I mean, it's interesting, of all the cityscapes you're picking, Tulsa.
Well, it's because I'm here, I suppose. But I think the earlier landscapes that I'd been doing in Washington, D.C., and probably even in Kansas City, were different kinds of spaces. They were more introverted sorts of spaces, like rooms. And so it was a very different thing for me to go out and sort of be confronted with all the geometry of the urban landscape. But one of the things I really am attracted to is the sense of scale in the landscape, the type of views that we have around here, these extended views down the street. I really find that quite fascinating. And again, in contrast to the older paintings, which were more like room spaces, that sort of thing. But I love the sense of scale, the light. Well, the light is so important to me, but we can find that here in the landscape. It's really quite beautiful.
You mentioned the endless landscape that goes of the street going off into the distance. And one of the artists I see in your work, and it has to be an influence, is Wayne Thiebaud, who, you know, draws these San Francisco streetscapes. But your streetscapes are really interesting because they tend to focus somewhat on the minutia of the landscape as opposed to the thing that would normally catch your eyes. One thing my eye is always caught by your work is all the telephone poles and all the wiring that runs through these. And that's something you paint a lot.
No, I find those things interesting. It's just the geometry that they possess. And I love those things. I love Thiebaud and DeBenCorn. You mentioned DeBenCorn earlier. Uh-huh. And I almost want to show I don't know if Thiebaud's a direct influence. I'm aware of his work. I do like his work. But I almost want to do what work in relationship to Tulsa the same way he worked in relationship to the San Francisco cityscape. Mm-hmm. This is part of the uniqueness of the landscape here. It's very flat, relatively flat, these expansive skies, and the ability to look down and to see these sort of raking views down the street. And this was not the kind of thing I was taught to do. I mean, this is something that has to come out of an interest, you know, something visually interesting in this subject matter. I seem attracted to it. I really don't know why, but I seem to keep going back to it and keep trying to understand it, explore it, and find my way through it, and find a way to utilize it. It's not just making a picture of it. It's making a painting or a collage with it.
Now, when you went to school at Kansas City and Yale in the 80s, I'd have to think minimalism was what was, but your teachers, perhaps you worked closely with, were figurative.
Well, a lot of them were figurative. There was a variety of faculty at all the schools that I attended, and you could go really work in any direction that you would like. But I was attracted to figurative painters and enjoyed working with some figurative painters. Wilbur Newald would be one, for example. He was at the Kansas City Art Institute when I was a student there. He's a big influence on my work, and I still enjoy following his work. He's a wonderful painter.
Now, I did mention DeBenCorn, and what I see in him, his figurative work is usually these sort of introspective interiors, mm-hmm. and you're, of course, working outdoors. But the color palette is you know, the blues, your blues and his blues are in the same neighborhood.
Well, I think one of the most beautiful things in painting is light, mm-hmm. and light through color.
And blue, that blue is just, it is one of the most beautiful colors around.
I enjoy painting the skies, I have to admit. I mean, I just love painting the skies. They're really quite beautiful. And I think the light here in Oklahoma is really quite beautiful. You hear about it in these foreign places, but I like the light where we are right here.
What is special about the light in Tulsa, in northeastern Oklahoma?
I don't know how to compare it necessarily, but I just find it very satisfying. I find it quite beautiful. And
is it our midday light? Because, I mean, it seems like most of the things I see is not morning, early morning, late afternoon. It's sort of...
Well, my routine is to go out early in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the summer. So the routine I have right now is I start painting about 7 and work till 11. And that gives me a nice time slot to sort of accomplish a certain amount of work. And part of that is just to avoid the heat. And I also like going to the studio the first thing in the morning, too, because it seems like you're fresher there, your ideas are a little fresher, maybe a little foggy, but still fresh, and you haven't been sort of distracted by, you know, the things that come up in our daily lives. So I do love going out early in the morning and setting up and going to work.
Well, earlier when we were talking, this Bowery Gallery exhibition is going to show off a lot of this new series of collages, which you've done off and on, but... This is really interesting because it draws on the landscape work, the cityscape work, but you're using, are these paintings for the most part, or are they drawings that you've done into the collage? I've still don't understand.
Well, you asked a minute ago about collage, and I may have been distracted a bit, but I started making collages probably about 25 years ago, and initially, again, with the still life. As the work evolved and as my interest grew in the landscape, the collage went outside with me. And at first I thought, well, you know, it's impossible to collage outside because of the weather, the elements. You know, how do you have bundles of paper with you and draw with paper, essentially, outside? It is quite a challenge. But over the years, I've kind of developed, you know, a system for doing it. I've created a palette of paper, and I clip books of paper together When I'm working in color, I'll have groupings of blues, groupings of neutral colors, groupings of warm colors, that sort of thing. So I have books of color with me that function as a palette. Lately, some of the new work that you've been talking about is graphite and paper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially, I'm doing the same sort of thing. I'm creating a palette of values to work with. So before I go outside, I've got a full range of values, large sheets of paper, small sheets of paper, even boxes that have sort of, it's been divided up where I can have groupings of different values in it. And that helps me, it helps to give some order to it. And so I don't have to prep a lot of paper while I'm on site.
Now, when you see a finished work, it almost looks like you did a large-scale drawing and then laboriously cut it into little tiny strips and sort of reassembled it. But it sounds like, no, you actually are drawing a very small portion of the picture on a little strip of paper, yeah, and then organizing it.
It's, sometimes there'll be a little sketching in there, but it's really just drawing with paper. So I start off, I cut large sheets of paper, start putting it down. And actually, the first few days, so many people will walk by and wonder what in the world I'm doing out there. Because it, for the first 3 or 4 days, it doesn't really seem like it has a lot to do with the scene.
It probably looks abstract,
yes,
as you're actually,
yes,
doing the
and
work.
So people will come back 3 or 4 days later and say, oh, I see what you're doing now. They get the idea. But I do think of, I love the idea of building. I love the idea of constructing. I love the idea of going from one touch to the next touch, developing the work over a period of time. And I enjoy being there. I mean, I feel like I have to be there on site because it's such a rich experience compared to maybe working from sketches or working from photographs, that sort of thing. I really enjoy that exchange of looking. So my work is so much about a way of just perceiving and looking and responding to the environment.
Now, a laborious process like this, I mean, are we talking a month to get a finished piece done? Because I would think the streetscape changes over time.
It does. It's, you know, you notice the shadows start changing after a few weeks. They're sort of in a slightly different position. But roughly, for these large graphite collages, I think I work on them 4 to 8 weeks. That's sort of the threshold.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little shorter.
Do you find that adds a little bit to the drama because the shadow changes and as you're drawing, the actual things change through the course of the assemblage?
Well, they change through the course of the four-hour period, and it's almost like you sort of get in sync with the landscape a bit. I mean, this sounds a little silly, maybe, but you kind of get in sync. Okay, so 10:30 is where I like the shadows. At 8:05, so-and-so walks through the landscape, you know, because you start to become familiar with routines of people in the landscape.
Yeah, of people going to work. Yeah,
absolutely. On Brookside, it's the joggers, people out walking their dog. There's a few people I've talked to over a period of several years,
mm-hmm,
just out while I'm working in the landscape.
One of the interesting things I like about the streetscapes in general, whether they're paintings or the collages, is there's a feeling of energy. And even in a parked car or somebody who's walking, I don't know what it is about the work, but it seems to convey that thought that these people are transitory to the landscape.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, those are just things that probably happen naturally, but I like that. I mean, I like the fact that you can sense a kind of energy to the work. And I think maybe it just goes back to the excitement of witnessing it, you know, excitement of watching it, seeing it, watching it unfold, that sort of thing.
My guest today is Mark Lewis, a Tulsa artist, teaches at the University of Tulsa. He is the painting teacher at the university. He'll be opening and showing in New York's Bowery Gallery in Chelsea. A new show opens Tuesday titled Tulsa Streets, Collages, and Paintings. It's part of the Bowery Gallery Invitational. They offer slots to two artists each year, and Mark will be on display in New York July 10th through the 28th, featuring a lot of the collage works. Paintings as well in the show?
There's going to be, I think there's only one street scene. It's an oil that's down on, I made down on 11th Street a couple of years ago. And it's about 4 by 6 feet,
mm-hmm,
similar format as the others. And then I'm also going to include, there's going to be a few paintings that are invented in street scenes in the show as well. And that's something that's a bit new for me. And these paintings and collages evolve from the act of being out and working in the landscape. And so I enjoy the idea of being in the landscape and working, that I enjoy the idea of being in the studio just facing a painting and reacting to it.
Will these be recognizable invented landscapes, or will they be really Hey, I've been there, but that's not it.
Well, you might think it's a real place, but it's not. But it is, I mean, it has a certain, most of my things have a certain abstract quality. It seems like it could be a possible scenario, especially the one large painting in it. You can recognize things that you might see as poles and or street signs, that sort of thing. But some of the collages seem actually quite abstract, that there might not be anything recognizable in some of those. But they still come about, or for me, they still come out of this act of looking in the landscape. For example, you know, we were talking about this image on the postcard, and in this image, there's a lot of directional lines in the sky, and they sort of thrust us into the landscape. So in some of the abstract collages, they have that element to them, even though it might not be recognizable as a street necessarily. But some of the, like, forces, maybe?
No.
Some of the forces I'm witnessing in the landscape mm-hmm. are translated without
now
that.
There are going to be some pieces that are color collages, which are signs, sort of the signscape, if you will, of a landscape. Now, was this one of the invented ones? Obviously. But
I think you saw one, and that was a collage, and that was an invented one of the invented collages.
But I think, you know, being along a street for so long, it would be interesting to sort of focus on the random graffiti, the random sort of people desecrating signs that are out there.
No, I like all that. It's an interesting experience being out on the streets. But, you know, I have to say, you know, a lot of places I work, Rich, I mean, they're on public streets, but, you know, there's not a lot of pedestrians. I mean, there are some. I can work out on 11th Street for several hours, and maybe one person will walk by. Hundreds of cars will drive by.
And that's the unusual thing about your streetscapes.
I mean, kind of private in a way.
In many ways, if you're doing a streetscape, you expect to see huge bundles of energy. And in this case, it might be a solitary figure walking. And that's very interesting and different.
No, I enjoy that. I enjoy placing the figure in the landscape. Usually I work on a painting quite a while before I start making those kinds of choices where I have a figure. But I'm really just watching people. And before you know it, I'll figure out, oh, I want somebody here, I want someone there, or I want this sense of scale, this figure isolated in the landscape, or a group of figures in the landscape, that sort of thing. So again, it's like waiting and watching and choosing and sort of grabbing certain instances that happen and include them in the collage or in the painting.
One thing I did want to ask you about was, you know, I've had a number of friends who have come back to town after being gone for a while, and they don't recognize the energy and vitality of the city. I'm wondering if you've been painting this city for 15 years. Are you noticing a change?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You might not be.
Not necessarily. Like I said, some of the things that I'm so in love with are just the quality of light, for example. But, no, I am aware of certain parts of the landscape that are evolving. But a lot of the streets I've been working on over the years, like 11th Street, hasn't really changed a lot. Brookside, it has changes here and there, but, you know, might be just a sign change or a storefront change.
But, of course, you're working in the morning, too. So, I mean, it's like it's not like it's 11 o'clock at night downtown, which is that's the biggest change, is that all of a sudden there's life after 5 o'clock.
I'm actually interested in working at night. I just haven't done it yet. I keep looking around, so you might see me out some evening.
My guest today is Mark Lewis, University of Tulsa art professor. He'll be opening a show at New York's Bowery Gallery in Chelsea on Tuesday titled Tulsa Streets, Collages and Paintings. He was the winner of the Bowery Gallery Invitational, in which they invite artists to come show in this artist-run gallery in the Chelsea area, which is a prestigious gallery district in New York City. And he joins us today on Studio Tulsa. We'll talk about some of your other work. Probably the work that gets seen the most is at the BOK Center, your landscapes of the Osage. Was that a new experience for you when you were creating that, or is that something you could do pretty often, as go out in the countryside and paint?
Right. It's interesting. I'm not sure where the change came about, but I'd been working, I think I mentioned earlier, working outside 15 years ago and did that for many years. But I felt like I was almost skipping over some of the transitory things in the landscape, like the sky changing. It seemed like I was so passionate just about a clear day, things not changing, just being able to grasp them was so important to me. But then I started, actually, I think it was, we did a little traveling, and it drove through Kansas and Colorado one summer. And I really started, and everybody in the car was asleep, and I enjoyed just watching the skies, so like the drama in the skies. And when I came back to Tulsa, I thought, there's got to be some place nearby where I can go and just view the skies, the changing skies, the skies in transition. And I'd heard about the Tallgrass Prairie, and I started driving up there, I want to say about 12 years ago, and maybe 10 years ago. And I haven't made up there quite as often the last couple of years, but I still love to go up there and paint. And now the difference in these... The paintings I usually make the Tallgrass Prairie, I'll do one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Sometimes I'll make three, sometimes I won't make any. I'll drive up and hope for the best, hope for an interesting event to realize, notice, or to paint. But I love that open horizon that the prairie has. And actually, I just love the Oklahoma landscape. I think it's really quite unique and it's quite beautiful. But I enjoy going up there. I've been going up there for years, and I know I've painted over 100 sketches up there.
One of the things I love about that landscape is you go over one dune hill. I call them sort of dunes. They're
right.
Kind of like dunes in
That's
a way.
Right. That's right.
But they have...
Rolling hills.
Yeah, rolling hills. And you're up there, and you don't really see where the sun is. It's a little clouds. You can be totally disoriented. You don't know where north is, where south is, and it's kind of weird.
Well, it is a curious place, and it's a beautiful place, really. I mean, I enjoy, you know, like I said, watching the skies, but also all the grasses there, you know, and the flowers. And, you know, at certain times of summer, certain things would be blooming. So there'd be times where I think it's the compass flower. I would go back and try to be there when it was blooming and make that a part of the painting. So you become familiar with the evolution in the landscape. And again, I just enjoy being there, painting there. I love the light in the landscape. It's really quite wonderful up there.
Now, I have to ask you about another experience you had. This is several years back now. You were the artist in residence at Rocky Mountain National Park. Now, I don't think of you as being painting Western landscapes at all.
Well, that was an interesting, it was a very interesting experience. I had that opportunity. I essentially stayed in a cabin by myself for 2 weeks. And really, thinking back now, the landscape is almost too beautiful for me. You know, it's not scrubby enough. And so I did struggle a bit finding places to
work. Is that in Moraine Park?
It was at the Rocky Mountain National Park near Estes Park.
Uh-huh.
But they had a wonderful program there.
It's a lovely little cabin, I think, right near a visitor center.
Right, uh-huh. Right. And I forget the name of the person that donated the cabin to Rocky Mountain National Park. But it's kind of rustic, very rustic, but it's right in the middle of the landscape. There's that open moraine that's right out in front of it. And I could hike around the cabin, or I'd pack up my gear and drive into the park and paint. And I've had a few things that came from there that I enjoy doing. It was different. It is different. I still like the scrubbiness of our landscape.
You mentioned driving out through western Oklahoma and western Kansas. And on one hand, I'm of the view that let's get through this as quick as I can when I'm going out west. But there's also a real beauty to it. And when you actually look at the landscape, even though it's, you know, it's can kind of get a little boring after a while, there's this rolling hills, you know, rolling, and you're sort of gradually climbing. And the light is beautiful out there. Have you ever painted out there?
Not really in western Oklahoma or in Kansas. I was describing a little earlier, those experiences I had driving through those states. But I haven't done a lot of traveling just to paint. I'm really quite happy getting up here in the morning and going downtown to paint, or going over to Peoria Avenue and working. It seems like it's got to be a part of my environment, not just a destination environment, but really a part of the environment that I live in on a daily basis. That's really that's important to me.
So it's about documenting your home, or you're documenting
the
things.
I don't know if it's about documenting, but it's just like utilizing my experiences in my environment to make the work.
Now, to me, it's like you've come up with this new technique of doing these streetscapes again with these strips of paper. When do you know when that sort of played out?
As an idea for collaging,
artistic expression. You know, it's about a continuous journey, you hope.
Well, that's true. Well, I can say I've been doing the graphite collages for 3 years, and about 2 weeks ago I started prepping a lot of paper with color again. So I'll start taking that back. Next collage I make will be using colored paper again, or acrylic on paper.
You can learn more about his art at marklewistulsa.com. Of course, the show will be this month in New York, but you have another show next fall, or next spring, I guess, at Living Arts.
Next May at Living Arts, I'll have a show of more of the street collages and some of these invented cityscape paintings that we've been talking about.
Yeah, well, they're really cool. I saw the first one at the O Tulsa show, I guess it was last year, and I was just blown away by it. It was just, and I think anybody who went to that show was blown away by
this piece. Oh, that's very nice, Rich.
Because it is of this city, and yet it looks very incredibly labor intensive.
Yeah, it's all right here. We don't have to go anywhere else. You know, like I said, I love the Oklahoma landscape, and I love working with it, and I love constructing, and I'm very happy to do all that right here in Tulsa.
All right. Well, we'll be hoping for good reviews from the New York Press, and congratulations on the show. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich.
University of Tulsa art professor Mark Lewis speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He was a recipient of an invitation from the Bowery Gallery in Manhattan, New York, to have a one-person show, which opens next Tuesday. The Bowery Gallery Invitational Show, Mark Lewis, Tulsa Streets, Collages, and Paintings, runs through the month of July. More information at his website, marklewistulsa.com. Here's the comments of Ian Scholes.
Ian Scholes, a recent article by Tom Vanderbilt in Slate was headed, "The Crisis in American Walking." Oh, great, another damn thing to worry about. Mr. Vanderbilt points out that pedestrian also means prosaic, run-of-the-mill, if you will. Something that an equestrian might call you if you wandered in front of his horse right before he trampled you to death. The writer recounts a moment with a friend in Savannah, Georgia, when the simple act of walking became pedestrianism, an activity that only exists at the whim of drivers. Busy thoroughfares, signs that say, "Stop for pedestrians." He became alarmed and began steadying walking. Obesity rates are up. In the UK, the amount of walking has declined by 25% in the last 25 years, and walking has become what he calls a boutique pastime. With weekend power walking, lifestyle centers with indoor panoramic walking tracks, people will walk for charities, and there are recreational enthusiasts. There is a campaign, Everybody Walk, which aims to get us on our feet with walking tips, walking plans, and, of course, mobile apps that tell us where to walk and help build walking histories. The author concludes, quote, "The need is urgent. The decline of walking has become a full-blown public health nightmare," unquote. If this is a big problem, I don't see what we can do about it besides, you know, walk more. We can't force people to walk. Jack-booted thugs won't bust in the door with cattle prods to get us off the couch. The boutique pastime is the thing that kills me. Americans have become so good at this, from cooking to growing a garden to drinking water to simply putting one foot in front of the other. We can turn mundane pedestrian activities into daring, progressive, politically fraught deeds. I mean, really. Are you thirsty? Get a glass and get some water from the tap. You don't really need the boutique bottled water experience, do you? Want to walk? Walk. You don't need apps or pedometers or even special sustainable shoes. I don't have a car. I walk everywhere. Until I read this article, I never even felt self-conscious about it. But I read that walking is an, quote, "act dwelling in the margins, an almost hidden narrative running beneath the main vehicular text," unquote. I thought, wow. Now, suddenly, I may be on the cutting edge of a hidden narrative. At last! I better get an early start on that, though. It's a long slog, and I don't think there's a bus that goes to the hidden narrative. Budget cuts. You know, I gotta go.
Ian Scholes is our commentator on pop culture. He's a writer and essayist based out of San Francisco and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.